Joshua, the first chapter, please, starting at verse number 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all of this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Excuse me. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Let's pray. Father, once again tonight, Lord, we thank you for the wonderful book, the Bible, the Word of God. The wonderful instructions, Father, that you give us through this word. Thank you for the precious, wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you, Father, that through him we have eternal life, the assurance of heaven. Thank you, Father, tonight as we preach that we know that we'll have your help, your instructions, your power, for you've promised it. We thank you, Father, for this congregation that's come. Thank you for the visitors that are here tonight. Thank you for sending them here. And Father, help us just to be the preacher that you want us to be tonight, bringing the message that you want brought. And we'll thank and praise you in the lovely, wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. You may be seated. In this portion of Scripture, as well as another portion of Scripture, which we'll be turning to in a few moments, and that'll be the Matthew, the sixth chapter. In this portion of Scripture, God gives us just a simple formula for life, for the Christian. I might start off by saying, Jesus Christ is our Savior. He's the Son of God. He died for our sins. Through him, we have eternal life. There isn't any other way to heaven, not whatsoever. I know these are things that you already know, but I just want to remind you that Jesus is the Savior. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. And as I said, there is no way to heaven except through him. You understand that. We must be born again. Amen. But for the Christian then, he who has received Christ as their personal Savior, they're born again. They know they're on their way to heaven. God has given us much instruction in the Word of God how to live. And if you go through even the New Testament, most of the New Testament is not written to find out how to be saved, although certainly throughout it, it is there. But after you're saved, he tells us what to do, how to live, what we're to do. Here in the book of Joshua, I want to start here, and then we'll go over to the book of Matthew. But I want to start here because he gives some instructions again to Joshua. In verse number 5, I just want you to notice he says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And we want to just simply notice that he's talking to Joshua and talking to him about his life, all the days of his life. Every one of us has a life that God has given us. We don't know how many of those days he's going to give us, but he's given us a life. And we need to have the instructions. What do we do all the days of our life? Look at verse number 6. He notice also, he says, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." We notice also that God has a specific purpose for Joshua. Now, I know that there's every individual, every Christian has certain things that are just natural that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be a good witness. We're to live the godly life. We're to do all of those things that the Word of God instructs us to do. But here with Joshua, he says, I have a specific purpose for you. You notice there that he gives him that you're going to divide the inheritance of the land. Now, again, I might stop and say, each one of us has a specific purpose. Every single person in here has a specific purpose, that a plan that God has for your life. It may not be the leader of a country. It may not be a preacher. It may not be a preacher's wife. But God has a plan for you. Every single person, God has planned out a plan that he wants worked out in your life. Now, if you will notice then, we'll go down to that next verse, in verse number 7. He says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." You notice in this verses of Scripture, we are told to be strong and courageous. We are to have the Word of God before us. It should be our guide. That's instructions from the Lord. And he said you should be very strong, very courageous, and you're not to turn to the right of the Word of God or to the left of the Word of God. Do you understand that? Is not that the instruction God has given his people? We are to walk straight on, not to the left, not to the right, but following the Word of God. You notice in this, in verse number 5, he gives Joshua 3 promises. He says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." He's promised that. And he says, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." The promise is that God has given Moses is, he said, "I will be with thee." What a promise. What a joy that God has promised that. And then listen to what he says. He says, "And I will not fail thee." It's impossible for God to fail. So we know that God will not fail Moses or Joshua, but he will not fail us. And he also says, "Nor forsake thee." God will never forsake his people. Jesus promised that he would never forsake us. Never, ever, ever. That's a promise of God. What a promise that is. Amen? You need to grasp the hold of that. And he's telling that to Joshua so he'll be encouraged in the Lord. And then, of course, in verse 6 and 6, he tells them how to walk with God. In verse 7, he tells them how to walk and what they should do. And he's just simply telling them, keep straight. Don't go to the left, don't go to the right, but just follow the Bible, the Word of God. And then in verse number 8 and 9, he gives instructions about life. Listen to what he says. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. He tells us to take the Word of God and to meditate upon it day and night. I think it's a marvelous thing in the night to be awakened and to think about the Word of God and to meditate upon the promises of God's Word. He says that's what we should do. And he says that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Do you want to be prosperous? The Word of God says you should meditate upon the Word of God and then follow the Word of God. Isn't that the instruction God gives us? And he says, if so, we'll be prosperous. And not only that, thou shalt have good success. There's not a young person out here that does not look forward to his life. And I'm sure not only the young, the older, that would say, I want to be successful in life. God just gave you a formula. It may not be the success that the world would consider success, but it is the success that God considers success. Stick with the word of God. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. Walk with God. Do the commandments of God. He said, when you do that, you'll be prosperous and you'll have good success. And then he says in verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And let me say to you, there is a lot of things out there that would try to dismay us in life. Many. But God says, trust in me. Okay? Just trust in me. Now, I'm going over after those instructions. We're going to the book of Matthew, the sixth chapter of the book of Matthew, and we want to show you a simple formula for life. God has given it, and if we'll follow it, we cannot go wrong. Impossible. Matthew, the sixth chapter, we're going to start with verse number 19. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. A simple verse of scripture giving the instructions to God's people. He simply says, do not lay up treasures on this earth. Now, I'd just like to ask a question. Could anyone interpret that any other way than not to lay up treasures on this earth? Can someone come up with a formula? Because most people try to do that. They try to work the word of God around to their benefit. But God in his word has instructed us to not lay up treasures upon this earth. Amen? Amen. Now there is something that has happened. It's been happening for a long time. And I'm going to take you back, and you don't have to turn there if you don't wish, but we'll come back to this, so don't lose your place. We're going to go over to the book of Exodus, the fifth chapter of the book of Exodus, and I want to share something with you. I want you to hear the story of the Israelites when they was in Egypt. Now, you know that Egypt stands for the world. It's symbolic of the world. They were down in Egypt, and here's what happened. In starting at verse 1, and afterwards Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. God had sent Moses into Egypt to get the people of Israel out of Egypt, out of the world. And he says that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. They wanted to go out into the wilderness to hold a feast. They wanted to worship God. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens? He said, what do you want to do? Get out of work? Get you to your burdens. And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick, as heretofore, let him go and gather straw for themselves, and the tail of the bricks which they did make heretofore ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Now we could continue to read, but that is a principle that is happening today in America. See, what happened was, he said they wanted to go worship God. They wanted to go into the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, you know what? If you've got time to go worship God, I'm going to get you busier than you've ever been before. And what he done was he said, used to, we provided the straw for you to make bricks. But he said, no longer. If you've got that much time on your hands, we will just let you go gather the straw and make the bricks, and they better not be one less brick made. Now, folks, it's exactly the very principle that is happening in our wonderful country. We are so busy. Oh, Pharaoh has us so busy building his kingdom, because what he put them busy doing was building the cities of Pithom and Ramses. That's what they become entangled in. They begin to build those cities for Pharaoh. And so they didn't have time to go worship God. Now, folks, listen to me. We are building Satan's kingdom. We are building Pharaoh's kingdom. Everybody says, I know, Brother Ross, I have to work. Everybody knows that. That's a plan of God. God has set it up that way. We do have to work. But we do not have to give old Pharaoh or this old world everything we've got and all the time that should be given to God. We have yielded over to the Lord. I can tell you, I've been around a few blocks. I've been there. And I want to tell you what it used to be. You already know what it used to be. They shut down on Sunday. No, they closed things down on Sunday. And Christians went to church on Sundays. Now, what is happening today is there's hardly anything closed on Sundays. Everything's open. So that means that everybody has to work. And not only that, we patronize those places on Sunday. So someone has to be there to wait on us. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? The same thing has happened. God did not put us here to build the cities of Pithom and Ramses for the devil. He put us here to build his kingdom. And so that's why he tells us over in the book of Matthew, be careful, because you don't want to lay up treasures for yourself. Hear what he said? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. He said, don't do that. Why? Because those treasures will never last. He said, the moth and the rust, corruption, and not only that, where thieves break through and steal. What he's saying is, those things will be destroyed. The metal items will rust. The clothing will get moths in them and they'll be destroyed. He said, if that don't happen, thieves will come in and steal your gold and your silver. That's why he says, don't lay up treasures down here, because he says they're not going to last. I don't know. It's really none of my business. That's each person's individual business. But I do not understand the laying up of great fortunes down here on this earth. To me, it's one of the most foolish things there ever is. I think a lot of people think when they get to heaven that God's going to say to them, boy, wasn't that wonderful. Look at all of those fortunes that you built. And look at all of that. No, no, no. That's not what God says. God, that's a direct command not to do. Don't lay up those treasures. Do you understand what he says? That's what God said. Now, that's his word. And you can handle it however you want to handle, but I know what it says. I know exactly what it says. Okay? And then he gives the next instruction is this. He tells us not only where not to lay them, he tells us where to lay them. One of the things I want to do for these young people, I want them to understand as you grow that your goal is not to lay up treasures, but your goal is to serve God and to walk with God for the rest of your life. And to keep on the straight line. And then God will take care of all these things. Did not he tell us? Did not he tell us if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things will be added unto us? Didn't he tell us that he knows what things we have need of? My. I want to tell you, down through life, folks, it's an amazing, wonderful thing to just simply know and watch God work as he provides for his children. God does that. And he says, here's what you do. But in verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. And what he says is, here's the place to lay your treasures up, in heaven. Now, is that not, again, a command of God? That's a command of God. And he says you won't have to worry about them being destroyed. It's impossible to destroy them. I've got them up there. He said you don't have to worry about some thief stealing them, because I've got them secured up there in heaven. No thief can get through to steal them. You know why? Because those treasures are eternal treasures and will never be destroyed. I know, you know, I do. I was young once. Believe me, I really was. But I was young once. And I understand how it is. You're looking forward in life and you're thinking about this and that and you want to do this and you want to do that. I understand those kind of things. But don't get up caught up in laying the treasures, all of them treasures, up on this earth. Because God says as you go through life, what you need to be doing is laying up treasures in heaven. That's not done all at once. That's done on a daily basis. You just lay some treasures up in heaven. You mind the word of God. You look around. You help people. You be a blessing to people. You use those things that God has given you to be a blessing to others. You lay up some treasures up in heaven that will never be destroyed. Amen. Now let me show you another reason why he says, because this is a simple formula. He says in verse 21, a simple truth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Folks, listen to this preacher. That is the truth of the Word of God. Wherever your treasure is, what has become treasure in your life, your heart will dwell there. No matter what it is. You have to determine what your treasure is, okay? But you can't be both places. As the Word of God will tell us in just a moment. Our treasure cannot be in both places. And so what he simply is telling us, the choice that you make as the treasure of your life is going to be where your heart will dwell. That's where it'll be. Now you have to determine what your treasure is. Where it's at. What's important to you? What really in your heart is important to you? You see, what our treasure should be is the wonderful will of God for our life. The purpose that God has made us for. That should be the treasure. Whatever that is, that should be the treasure of our life. And if so, that's where our heart will be. Look at verse number 22. He says, the light of the body is the eye, and if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now what he's telling us simply is this, the eye, he said, it must be single. What he's talking about is the purpose of life, where your treasure is. What is that? What do you have your eye on? And it should be single, as life is concerned. A few years back, some of you remember this, I would stand up here and I had a problem with my eyes. And they told me that it would last for only a little while and then correct itself. And I would look out here and I would see nothing but blurred faces. And in fact, I would see two of you. I saw double, and I preached for many weeks, seeing double. I doubled my congregation in just a short time. I did. I really did. And it was scary because there was two of each of you. But anyway, that happened, and then they said it would correct itself, and it did. And then they said it might happen again, it might not, and sure enough, it did. Twice that happened. My eye was not very single during that time. Amen. But God said, your eye must be single. The purpose of life, What do you have your eye on for life? What is your goal? No, I mean, you really ought to consider that. You really ought to stop. You ought to really think about it. What is some of you young folk, what is your purpose for life? Okay? I mean, you need to decide. What is my desire? What is the purpose that God has made me for? And where is my eye going to be? Is it going to be on God's will for my life? Whatever that is. I don't know what God's will for your life is. But whatever that is. And so you need to keep your eye single on the Lord's will and purpose for your life. Now look at verse number 24. And he says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon speaks of money, of riches. Now God says and makes a statement, you cannot serve them both. Do you believe that? And the key word, I believe, there is serve. You cannot serve with all of your heart God when you're serving money. Impossibility. Can't be done. So somewhere along the line, we have to decide, what is the goal of our life going to be? What is it going to be? Who are we going to serve? We know you have to, I mean, God knows you have all need of all these things. He said so in his word. And you have to work, you have to do this, but it should not be the goal of your life. And if you will notice over in verse 33 of chapter 6, he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." Once again, that is not a suggestion, that is a command of God. He said, I need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these other things will be added unto us. You see, this is a simple formula for life. It's just something God gives us and says, if you'll follow that, you'll have great success. I was born in a little house outside of Fillmore, Indiana. Most folk don't know where Fillmore is, but that's down near the Greencastle in Putnam County. Just a little old town, somewhere around 350 at that time in that town. And outside of that town, about a mile, I was born. I was like any other boy, I suppose, and I had my ups and downs in sonship. My mom and dad. I was trying to do well, and not always did I obtain that. There was a time when and I've told some of you this before, so just listen in. There was a time when I was feeling, my vigor, and I was around probably 10 years old, and my mother picked up a lathe. Most of you don't know what a lathe is. You wouldn't have the slightest idea, but they used to put lathes in walls and put plaster over the lathes. There was a board about that thick and about that wide. She picked up a lathe and whacked me, and it broke, and I laughed. And then I run. My mother did not speak to me the rest of the day. She never said a word to me. I tried to butter her up, but she was waiting on something. She was waiting on my daddy. And my daddy didn't have a vehicle, and I seen him up over the railroad track on the road walking home from work. He got a ride. He worked at Indianapolis, and he got a ride up to Fillmore, and then he'd walk home. I seen him coming. And he came in, and I said, "Hi, Dad. Hi, son." He went into the house. He come back out. He was not smiling. He took me and whipped me. I still can feel it. I mean, he whipped me terribly. He said two things. "Don't you ever laugh at your mother again. And don't you ever run from your mother again." I never did. Never. He meant it. Amen? Now, I'm telling you that for a reason. There was another time in my early teenage years, and I loved my mother dearly. And I came from work. I was working as a farmhand. I got off there in Fillmore. I had my bicycle there, and so I got on my bicycle, stopped at the hardware store, and they sold all kinds of glassware and things. And I stopped, and I bought my mother a beautiful green pitcher. I took it home and gave it to her. And she just cried like a baby. Two times she cried over that pitcher. She cried when she got it, and she cried when it was broke. Meant a lot to her. I simply done it. Wasn't her birthday, wasn't Christmas. I just wanted to do something for Mom. But what I'm telling you is this. Both of those instances, the time I ran from my mother and the time I bought her a pitcher, did not determine what kind of a son I was. What I was on a continual basis decided that. You can have your good times and your bad times, but that doesn't determine what you are. It's what you are all the time that determines. It's how you live your life. I also played basketball there at Fillmore High. Fillmore Cardinals. Raw, raw, raw. Amen. I played basketball. One day in my junior high years, the coach noticed in me a pretty much of an indifference. He said to me one night after school, he said, Bob, he called me Bobby. Bobby, do you think we ought to have practice tonight? I said, oh, coach, whatever you think. He said, well, you go on home. The rest of us will practice. Then there was another time we was on the ball court. It was in a game. Just a few seconds left in the game. D. Greenlee, one of our guards, I played forward. We was just a few seconds. He shot from middle floor. I ran for the basket. The ball hit the rim, missed, came down in my hands. I flipped it up, put it in the basket, and we won the game. But neither one of those times determined what kind of a ball player I was. Neither one of them. It determines on what you are all the time, not just the ups and downs of life. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I've worked all my life. I've had bad days at work and good days at work. But that didn't determine what kind of a worker I was. It's what I did on a regular basis. What I'm trying to say to you is there's a legacy that each one of us is going to leave. Every single one of us is going to leave some kind of legacy. And what's going to determine that is what we are on a regular basis. That's not determined by one incident or two incidents. It's determined what we become as an individual. As a pastor, I have a legacy. And that was not determined by a good decision or a bad decision, and I've made both of those. But that didn't determine. What determined my legacy I leave as a pastor is what I stood for all of these years. Did I stand for the King James Bible? I certainly did. Did I stand for standards? Dress standards? Music standards? Godly living? I've preached faithfulness to church all of my life. And I, best of my ability, I've been faithful to the Word of God. That's what determines your legacy. My legacy is not a perfect legacy, but that's my legacy. And my legacy is almost finished. I can't do a whole lot to change it. Oh, I can maybe add to it. I can maybe help it along. But it's already established. Do you understand what I'm saying? And everyone out here has a legacy. What are you going to leave? It's kind of like Dorcas and called Tabitha. She left a legacy of making coats and garments. And that was her legacy. It was a good legacy. The widows loved it and cried when she died. Every one of us has some kind of legacy that we're going to leave. What I would suggest to us is that we be sure and build that legacy. Live the life according to God has said here. Don't lay up treasures in heaven, on this earth. Lay them up in heaven. Don't serve mammon, serve God. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That becomes a legacy of your life. Amen. I would say to a dad, you're not perfect. You never will be. I certainly was not a perfect dad, but I learned along the way. I tried to leave a good legacy as a good dad, not a perfect dad. Mamas are the same way. You're going to leave a legacy. I say to these young people, when you're in school, what kind of legacy are you going to leave? What are you going to leave when people open up the yearbook years from now, and how will they remember you? Will it be as a troublemaker? Will it be as a cheat? Will it be as a gossip? Will it be someone who showed forth bad examples? Will it be someone who tried to tear down the school or the church? Or will it be somebody who done everything they could to be a blessing and a help? That's the legacy. You're going to leave one way or another. I had a brother. His name was Dilmas. Of course, there was eight of us that was raised. One passed away a few hours after he was born. I was the youngest. But had a brother named Dilmas. And Dilmas was a prankster. He's the one I think I told you about. We had the old type wash machine out on the back porch that had a motor on it, a regular motor that you cranked with your foot and started it. He went out and he hooked a wire to that spark plug and hooked it to a metal lawn chair and just waited for whoever would sit down except mom or dad. One of the brothers, and he wouldn't have cared if it was a sister. And he waited and waited, and finally one of the brothers came out and sat down in that chair, and he went, choot! And my brother came out of that chair. He was a prankster. And they chased each other for I don't know how long. But my brother came home from service. He joined the service at 17 years old. He joined the Air Force. Came home from service, and mom was always good at making cupcakes and things like that. This is Dilmas. He went in and he found those cupcakes, and he put two under his hat. He did that, put two under his hat. I still remember that. And went outside like nothing happened. Mom never knew. Went out and ate the cupcakes. I mean, this is the kind of guy he was. But that was not his legacy. Dilmas grew up, went into the Air Force. 25 years later, came out of the Air Force as a captain. Was a pilot. Flew troops in and out of Vietnam in a transport plane. Flew a KC-97 refueler tanker. He had a good legacy, but you wouldn't have thought so when he first started. What I'm simply saying to you is, folks, you can change your legacy. But you are building one. Oh, yeah, you are building one. Amen? So did I, and so am I, continuing to build. My brother Herschel, you remember Herschel, who I baptized back here? That was in January of 2008. It's been about a year and a half ago. I baptized my brother, my 80-year-old sister, and two of my nieces. If you remember. Herschel, that I baptized, he got in horrible trouble at school. I mean horrible trouble. I mean he He done some things, and my dad took him. I mean, honestly, I was there. I saw it outside. Dad took a board, and he whipped him. You didn't get away with things in our household. It ought to be that way now. He whipped him terribly. And what I'm saying is, you know, you'd think maybe that was going to be his legacy. No, he grew up, went to school, never had that happen again. Went to school, graduated, went to college, graduated, become a teacher. For 15 years taught, and then after that retired from teaching and bought a business and run a business for the rest of his life till here a while back when he retired. What I'm saying to you is, you know, you may start off maybe not too good, but you can change that legacy. There's simple formulas in the Word of God how to live the life. And it's all revolved around God and His Word. You can decide today to just even begin now to walk with God and follow the commandments of God every day of your life. That's what He intends for us to do. Amen? That's a wonderful, wonderful formula. It's a simple formula. Don't lay up treasures on earth. Lay them up in heaven. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. Don't serve mammon, but serve God. Simple. Amen. Just simple way of life. I'm encouraging you. I'm just encouraging you. Let life be simple. God never meant it to be complicated. It's just simple. Just serve God every day. Go to bed of a night in the will of God. That's what I've tried to do for years. Someone told me that formula years and years ago. He said, Brother Ross, just go to bed in the will of God tonight, and you'll get up in the will of God in the morning. Make sure you stay in the will of God all day. Go to bed again. Get up in the will of God. Make sure during the day you don't get out of the will of God. That's a good formula. Amen. And if you do get messed up, get before your Lord on the knees and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm that old sinner that needs to be forgiven, cleansed, and helped. And God will do it. He's promised it. Amen. So I say to you folks, listen, the book of Micah, I want to give you a verse of scripture, and I'm going to close. Micah, the 6th chapter, verse 8. Listen to it. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your wonderful grace, your goodness, your kindness. Thank you for who you are. And Lord, help us. Oh God, help us to do right. To take the formulas of life that you have penned down in your word and to follow them. Help us, Lord, your will to do. And Lord, we know if should there be anyone here unsaved, the first thing you want to do is you want to save their soul and give them eternal life through Jesus Christ, your Son. And then, Lord, you want to take our life and mold them unto the image of Jesus Christ. Take us, mold us, use us. Father, guide and direct us. Instruct us in the way we should go. Guide us with your eye, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.